Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us today in our advanced class as we talk about Washington State's Orcas Island. Thanks for being with us, everyone. It's always nice to have a travel article, and we have in our classroom today, I'm your teacher, Doris Broome, Pao Meng Hui, and as other panelists with us today, we have
Amanda
and Brian,
and you'll hear them often on our advanced class as panelists, and they're on other programs with Studio Classroom and rallies. Amanda, you like to go out and meet people a lot too, don't you?
I do. I love to go in different places around, just different cities, meeting people in the schools. I love it.
And we're glad that Amanda's with us. She's from a place that's kind of like a big island, really. She's from where?
New Zealand.
New Zealand. And, you know, New Zealand and Washington State have a lot in common. When I went to New Zealand, I thought it was the same as being in Washington State because we have some of the same kind of beauty. Did you know that?
As you've been talking and as we've been preparing for this article, I felt the same way.
So some of you, if you want to go to one place or the other, maybe go to both, and I hope someday you'll go to Washington State, too.
I would like to do that.
And, Brian, you're from what, Chicago area in the United States?
Yes, I am, Doris. Unfortunately, it's not quite as natural as Orcas Island. I wish it were.
Well, you can always visit there sometime on one of your trips home. What about that?
That's a great idea.
And our article today is on one of my favorite places. It's in the San Juan Islands, not too far from Seattle, between Seattle and Vancouver, B.C., and it's called Orcas Island. We'll find this article on page 12 today, Washington's Orcas Island. But we'll talk more about the whole group of islands. They're called the San Juan Islands. Beautiful group of islands, and I hope you all can go there someday. So what does it say under the caption here, Washington's Orcas Island?
Eat naturally and play hard on this horseshoe-shaped island in the San Juans.
If you look closely here, you'll have to find the Orcas Island. You can see it there at the very top. It's quite close to Canada, and it looks like a horseshoe right there. And they're part of the San Juan Islands. So many islands. So let's read the first paragraph and down through line 21.
Washington's Orcas Island. Eat naturally and play hard on this horseshoe-shaped island in the San Juans. If life hands you lemons, you make lemonade, right? But if life hands you nettles, and you're on Orcas Island, you make pizza. Elsewhere, nettles are one of nature's nuisances, but on Orcas, they're an asset, and that speaks volumes about the down-to-earth vibe on this largest rock of the San Juan Archipelago. Besides its rich growth of nettles, Orcas is distinguished for the pristine forests and lakes of Moran State Park, trail-laced mountains, and little farms pocketed among hills and dales, from which black-faced lambs look up to watch cars pass every time a ferry arrives. The people also seem a little different from the big town of Friday Harbor, the county seat that's a 40-minute ferry ride away on San Juan Island. I think we're more eclectic here, more involved with culture and sustainability, said resident Morgan Meadows.
Well, this article begins in rather an interesting way. They're trying to make it sound kind of fun in a way, but I don't know. Can you explain that, Amanda, what they're trying to say here?
It is an idiom that we have in our vocabulary focus. And if life hands you lemons, you make lemonade, right?
Starting what does that really mean?
It means that if life hands you or you face a challenge or something negative in your life, then you try to turn it into something good.
Okay. Now, when you make lemonade out of lemons, of course, lemons are very sour. Do people like to just eat lemons like they are usually?
No.
Most people like to add sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people eat oranges, and they eat all kinds of good fruit. But lemons, we usually use them to put sugar on them and make lemonade.
That's right.
So without a little bit of sugar, without a little sweetening, they're not good. And things in our life that are very difficult, we need to put a little sweetening on them and try to turn them into something good. Isn't that right?
That's for sure. And speaking of things that are sour or that you want to avoid, the next sentence goes into another kind of stretching the idiom. If life hands you nettles and you're on Orcas Island, then you might make pizza.
I think that's kind of hard to understand. Remember, they're just trying to be a little bit clever in their writing. Nettles are, it's kind of a growth that's like bushes and growth and vines. And if you touch them, it stings you. Just like if you're in the water and you have this...
The jellyfish.
Jellyfish, how they sting you. Well, that's where nettles are. And if you happen to walk through some nettles and you have shorts on, you'll notice it because all of a sudden your legs will turn red and they'll sting, like a bee sting almost.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So whenever you see nettles, you know what we know what they look like, little tiny leaves on them. We don't go near them.
Right.
But if you happen to go through nettles, well, then you can make pizza. That's kind of a funny thing to say because we don't usually use nettles on pizza. However, sometimes people like to put some kind of grassy things on pizza, like Mexicans put something on. And so up in Orcas Island, they say, well, we can cut the nettles and we can cook them up and put them on our pizzas. It's just still a grass. But I think I wouldn't worry too much about that. In other words, don't worry about the nettles. That will not bother your stay on Orcas Island. That's what they're trying to say, aren't they?
That's right. There's too many other beautiful things to enjoy.
Forget the pizza part right there. But nettles are kind of a nature's nuisance. Don't you think that's a nuisance to walk along and get stung by nettles?
Very much so. You want to be able to enjoy your work. So when you're walking along and you're going to get stung by things, it doesn't make it very pleasant.
No. It says that they're an asset. I'm not really sure I would call nettles an asset. I really wouldn't call them an asset. I would say, okay, make the best of them, but I've never felt that they were anything that you really wanted to have.
Especially on your skin, like you said, on your legs, that would not feel like an asset.
Maybe unless you're the pizza owner.
Right.
The pizza store.
Well, it's about this down-to-earth vibe on this largest rock. So they're trying to be very, very clever with their words here. Mm. They're just saying is that, yes, they can use nettles and they can use them and put them on pizzas because, after all, they're kind of a grass.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It seems like they don't have too many problems on this island. Down-to-earth vibe, kind of like a down-to-earth feeling. And down-to-earth is one of our vocabulary terms there that means practical and realistic. So down-to-earth would be the opposite of somebody that's kind of highbrow, somebody that's out of reach.
Mm. Right. Well, because it's rich growth of nettles. They have a lot of nettles there. They have a lot of wild flowers. They have a lot of green grass. And nettles just grow in a place like that.
Mm-hmm. They do. It says, Orcas is distinguished for the pristine forests and lakes of Morin State Park. And pristine meaning that it's in very good condition. It hasn't been disturbed. And in some cases, it would mean that it looks like new.
That's true. Untouched, more or less. Mm. And Moran State Park is a very beautiful place. And it has trails all over, so you can walk around. Sometimes you don't know where to go if you're on a mountain or in a park. But they have all these trails are marked. They tell you how long they are. They're well-kept trails. And then they have little farms amongst the hills, like little pockets. Just like when you're traveling in some countries and there's a lot of forests and all of a sudden you see a little village. And this is what it's like there. They pocket it among the hills, and you see the ups and downs, the hills and the dales, the little valleys, and you can see these cute little lambs. I like all kinds of lambs, but the black-faced lambs are kind of cute. They're so special. They have a lot of those in Britain. Do you have any black-faced lambs in New Zealand?
We do. We have a few of them. Not as many as the other type, but we do have a few.
They're quite different, aren't they?
Yeah, and
they're
you're right.
Little black noses. You've seen pictures of them. Well, they look up and they watch the cars pass every time a ferry arrives. So you get off the ferry, and a ferry you can take cars on. So you can drive your car, you drive off, and you go on. You see these little lambs. You also see rabbits. Sometimes they'll run across the real wild rabbits.
Wow.
And all this kind of, so just giving you a picture of a place that's more or less untouched, more of a place of nature. Doesn't it sound like a fun place to get away from in the city?
It does. Maybe this weekend can try to get away.
Sounds relaxing.
Mm-hmm. And what about the people?
Well, they seem a little bit different from the big town, in quotation marks, of Friday Harbor. So Friday Harbor is a big town compared to Orcas, maybe, but it's not really a very big town. That's why we use the quotation marks.
Mm. Right. And it's a 40-minute ferry ride away from the San Juan on San Juan Island. So you have to take ferries to go here and there. And ferries are nice, as I said, because you can have your car.
And you can also then go up to the upper level and just watch the scenery, especially as you're heading into the islands. Mm-hmm. It must be very beautiful to see just the different hills and the greenery as you're going along,
too. And on the ferries, you can see the porpoises sometimes, and you can even see those great big whales that you see. We call them the killer whales that you see on the picture here. Mm-hmm. And you'll be going on the ferry and someone will say, oh, look, and there'll be a whole bunch of them together. Won't mm-hmm. that be fun?
That'd be beautiful.
To watch them jumping and having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go a lot of different places. You don't just go to one place when you go there. And what does they say? I think we're more eclectic here. That's an interesting word.
It is. It's describing the people on the island. And eclectic means that they're diverse. It says they're more involved with culture and sustainability. So they like their arts and different things. And sustainability is another word we have in our vocabulary focus. And it just means that they want to produce items or goods and services that don't harm the environment and can be replaced.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they want to enjoy it. They want to be involved in the culture, but they want to keep it the way it is. They don't want to just cut down all the trees and the meadows and build big apartments. They want to keep it nice, little clustered villages. Mm-hmm. And that's so nice to be in a place like that on a vacation, isn't it?
It sure is.
It's not very far from Seattle. We'll find out more about it. So it's a beautiful place. When you get off the ferry, you see natural flowers, you'll see all kinds of growth. You see mountains, little farms. You'll say, wow, this is a nice place for a vacation. I can really relax here.
Yeah, it sounds pretty pristine.
You'll probably write more articles if you're up there. Don't you think so?
Oh, definitely.
It's a good place for writers and artists and painters and people who just love nature. So if you go up there to the San Juan Islands, there's so many places you can go, and we'll find out just a little bit about it. But I think these islands are one of my favorite places in the world because they have just about everything there, and they're so natural and so beautiful.
Mm. Can you hear the animals and just the sound of nature pretty clearly?
Oh, yes.
There?
Mm-hmm. Mm. You can hear the bleating of the sheep, and then you can hear the birds, and they can hear the birds singing, and you can hear things like that. So it's quite interesting there.
Mm.
So let's go on to see what the next part tells us about in the second part of our article.
Finding fault, missing the beauty. A longtime islander bemoaned that visitors are smitten when they first come. But if they move to Orcas, too many then find fault with things such as the rural public services, without appreciating every splendid thing, like the ridgelines and the valleys and the inviting glimpses of coves and little beaches that are magical, and the osprey by Cascade Lake, the oyster catchers along Crescent Beach, or the ouzels in the streams at the state park. Orcas, shaped like a giant horseshoe cleaved almost in two by the waters of East Sound, feels more geographically diverse than other islands in the San Juans. It's the only island with more than one official U.S. post office. In fact, it has foreign East Sound, Orcas Village, Deer Harbor, and even the tiny hamlet of Olga, where a for rent sign fills the window of the only store. Each village has its own personality.
Why do you think they say this finding fault and missing the beauty?
I think it's this attitude that the writer's talking about, that some people, they really fall in love with Orcas Island, and after they move there, they tend to complain about things that maybe are too small, townish for them, or things that are too slow, instead of just enjoying the beauty.
Well, you know, a lot of people come up to Washington State from Hollywood, from California, and they're used to more glamorous life and nightclubs and places where they can go out and you know, have a glass of wine at night. But here it's going to be more villages and farms. So they kind of think, what kind of a place is this anyway? But if you really like the countryside, then you're in the countryside.
I was just thinking, yeah, you're used to the conveniences perhaps of a city, you know, things are open later. But here in the countryside, in a more rural area, the stores close earlier, you know, maybe 6 p.m.
And people go home with their families,
Right. Spend time with their family, exactly.
So I think when people find fault with things, they do miss a lot, don't you?
I think so. They're just looking at it in one way and focused on the bad things rather than the good things.
I want all of the modern conveniences, but I still want the pristine part of what it used to be. Sometimes it's hard to get those both together, isn't it?
That's right. There's usually a sacrifice on either side. If you want the pristine, you may not have all the conveniences of big high-rise buildings. But at the same time, if you want the convenience, you may not have the nature around you.
And if people are from the city, you know, we get sort of used to all of the kind of night markets and all the noise and the things of the city. And all of a sudden, I know when Chinese people go down to certain places in Australia, they say, oh, everything's closed at night. There's nothing going on because they're not used to that.
Right.
But on the other hand, don't miss the beauty of that. There's a lot of beautiful things you can see. And someone who's lived there a long time, he bemoaned this fact. In other words, he was just mentioning, he says, I'm so sorry that these visitors feel this way. How do they feel when they first get there?
They are smitten. That means they fall in love with it right away. They fall deeply in love with it because of the natural beauty is so strong and powerful.
Well, and it says, but if they move there, and I don't think most people go there with the idea of moving there. I know when I was in Seattle, when I was younger, we went up there just for a trip. We didn't plan to move there.
Right.
We just went there for the change.
Right. There'll be a few percentage of people that may consider moving there, but perhaps on their first impression of it, this is beautiful, I love nature, and maybe that's the reason they think, maybe I'd like to move here.
We have a lot of islands around Seattle that are like that. One is called Vashon Island, and some people go back and forth to work on ferries every single day. They have carpools to the ferry, and then they get going to the city. But they love that nature. They like to have deer in their yard in the morning, and they love to see the city, but they're out in the countryside. So there's a lot of areas like that. But don't expect all of the kind of things you might get in the city. It's not possible.
That's right. That's right.
So it's very rural, and they don't have good rural public services sometimes. But what are the splendid things that they can appreciate?
They have ridgelines and valleys and the inviting glimpses of coves. So ridgelines, are you just seeing the outline of the hill at the very, very top, and then you see beautiful valleys, perhaps green with these lovely, cute lambs on there, and also glimpses of coves and little beaches that are described as magical.
I know when I was that went up to visit these islands, the last time when I was there, I was so impressed with the fact that you just go around a corner, and of course they're islands, and they're not very big, and you can always see the ocean. You know, living in Taiwan, it's an island, but we don't always see the ocean because it's a pretty big place.
Right.
You know? But you can see the ocean all the time, and then you'll see a little cove, and you look down there, and there's nobody there, and there's a little beach. And it's just so beautiful. And then you'll see some of these different birds or animals around there. And it's just so beautiful to see that untouched place without anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to find that in Asia.
Definitely. And that's the neat thing about coves is that you really feel like you're separated from everything else when you're in a cove, a beach that's kind of surrounded by rocks or surrounded by cliffs.
And even though the islands are small, they have some lakes on them. And they have Cascade is one of the lakes. There's twin lakes. They have different lakes. But they see the osprey. What are osprey like?
Osprey are huge birds. We call them birds of prey or raptors, and they catch fish, and they can dive from great heights into the water to catch the fish using their eyes. So they are beautiful, lovely birds that hunt fish.
Right, and they can pick up the fish with their claws and take them someplace and put them on a rock and eat them. And they're tremendously, you know, powerful birds, aren't they?
It would be a beautiful sight to see one of them actually catching a fish,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then taking it up, like you said, and eating it. And the expanse of their wings are very large as well.
Right. They remind you of eagles in a way. Right.
Right.
Do you have them in New Zealand or not?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't heard of them before.
Mm-hmm. Mm. They are very beautiful, big, big birds. You can watch them and just sit there down on the ridge and watch some of these things going on, which is quite nice. And then they have these other birds. They're kind of smaller birds, the ouzels. They're in the streams, and they fly around, and they have a beautiful, beautiful little songbirds. They're singing little songs, it sounds like. And that's fun, is listen to them talking back and forth.
That would be lovely to hear.
To sit quiet and listen to the birds. And you wonder what they're saying to each other sometimes, right?
Need a translator.
Right, you need somebody to translate. And some people who love birds like to go to these places, and they take little ways to record the sounds, and they bring them home, and they study the birds. And there's a lot of different kinds of birds in these parks. So that's just to mention a few of them. But it says that Orcas was shaped, you know, here like a giant horseshoe. And if you look at the map there at the very top there, this part where it says Orcas Island, you can see it does look like a horseshoe, doesn't it?
It does. It wraps around kind of like a loop there, so it looks like the bottom of a horse's foot or the horseshoe.
And you say it's cleaved, it's kind of cut almost in two by the waters of this East Sound. And it seems a little bit more diverse from the other islands because it's kind of a big island too.
Yeah, and it's geographically diverse, so it has different shapes to it. It has maybe some hills, maybe some small cliffs and mountains, so it's got a lot of variety.
Well, and most of these places are so small, they just have one post office, but they have four post offices, so big place. But who cares nowadays? Nobody sends mail much anyway, do they? We all use email. So why do we worry about that?
Perhaps that shows that there is a lot more of a population of people living on the
right.
island there.
And you notice the names like Deer Harbor, you know, where the deer are, and Olga, that sounds like a Scandinavian name. And this little tiny hamlet. Hamlet's kind of what the British people like to use for a small village, don't they?
They do. Or should I say, we do.
Yeah, you do that. It's kind of an English, British
yeah,
English term.
It is.
It's called Olga. Mm-hmm. And where a for rent sign fills the window of there's only one store and it's for rent. Because not many people go up there. It's kind of hard to do business there.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing about it is that each village has its own personality.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes it a great place to visit, I imagine. Each village has its distinct personality with the people, the culture, maybe even the food.
Mm-hmm. So if you have time, have a few days off, you might want to explore a place like this.
It sounds like a great place to go to for a weekend getaway.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you can go to a resort place where you just see one thing there, or you can drive around. Actually, Orcas Island is only about 56 square miles. It's not very big. You know how many people live there? Only 4,900.
Wow.
That's not very many people.
No.
You have more people live in one block.
Yeah.
In our areas than that. But it's just the part where people begin to discover San Juans, and we'll talk more about that, how you can get there. It's only 50 minutes ride when you go from the ferries from Anacortes, which is right near Seattle. It's not very far.
That's not far at all.
Oh, but it's a beautiful place. It's like another whole world. So come back to our class tomorrow when we talk more about it. We're going to use this subject for 3 days because it's a great place for traveling. Don't you
mm-hmm.
think so?
I'm looking forward to exploring more about it.
I want to hear about more of the landmarks.
Right. So in conclusion, what would you say the feeling you get from this article so far, Amanda?
It's a very natural and beautiful place that is quiet so that you can hear nature. Perhaps a place that you would just like to go and sit in a paddock or in a beautiful on a grassy hill and just maybe sleep there or doze there listening to the birds singing.
I like the pace of life there, this down-to-earth vibe where you just relax and enjoy the scenery around you.
And there's many places in the world that are like this. We can find places like this in Switzerland and in Norway and other places. But you can find all of this in this one place. You don't have to go to so many different countries. But you'll find that in Norway, little hamlets, little villages tucked away. You'll find that in England and United Kingdom and in New Zealand.
That's right.
Australia. Mm-hmm. So those of us who love nature like to find these little places tucked away where you can have a vacation, relax and read, have music, listen to the birds. So let's come back tomorrow and find out more about other places, other things you can do besides just that.
Sounds
good.
There'll
be more things ahead, aren't there?
Oh, yes.
So we'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, definitely.
And you too.
I will be.
Okay, so don't you miss it. Be with us every day. We'll see you in class tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.